Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm just going to reread two verses from Colossians 3, which our sermon is largely based on today. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, help us to set our hearts and minds on the things of your kingdom rather than on the things of this earthly kingdom. Lord, bless us today as we do that, as we hear from your word, as we receive your spirit and your grace and your wisdom for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's this criticism sometimes made of Christians that we can be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. You might have heard this said before, that we can be so heavenly minded we're no earthly good. In other words, that we can have our heads in the clouds sometimes, we can be so idealistic or so focused on the things beyond this world that we're not actually much use in this world. Now, like all criticisms, we need to hear that and we need to think about how it might be accurate in some ways and what it might tell us about ourselves. But also, I think the history of the church and for many of us, our experiences within the church are that the opposite is often true. And I came across this quote by C.S. Lewis during the week in his book Mere Christianity. And this is what he writes on this topic. A continual looking forward to the eternal world is not, as some people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but it's one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It does not mean that we're to leave this present world as it is. For if you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought the most of the next. The apostles themselves, for example, who set on foot the conversion of the Roman Empire. The great leaders who built up the Middle Ages. The English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade. All of these left their mark on earth precisely because their minds were so occupied with heaven. It's since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they've become so ineffective in this one. And then he goes on to conclude and sort of summarize, aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. So C.S. Lewis makes this argument, and I think it's a very good argument, a very strong argument, for doing exactly what Paul encourages us to do in today's epistle reading, and exactly what Jesus illustrates to us in today's gospel reading, and that is to set our minds on things above, to set our minds on the things of God, to focus ourselves and our time and our attention and our energy on God, and to allow Him in turn to make us of some earthly good and use as well in the process. So this morning I want to just work through that process that God leads us through from our natural mindset to our changing mindset to our new mindset in Christ. Now Paul says this morning, put to death therefore whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And he lists a whole bunch of things, you would have heard it. And then later he says, and rid yourselves of these such things, and he lists a whole bunch more. Paul says these are things that belong to your natural mindset. They're just how we are by our nature. And there's things there of a sexual nature and a financial nature and a social nature. And there's things about our attitudes and there's things about how we talk. And it's a pretty all-encompassing list. And I think this is part of Paul's point because, you know, most of us, when we hear things like this, when we hear what we call the law of God, if we can kind of wriggle out from under it, we will, right? If we can find a way that it applies to someone else and not to me, we will, right? That's also part of our natural mindset. And so I think Paul is trying to show us today, by leaving no stone unturned, that look, this involves all of us. We're all like this in some way. This is our natural mindset. This is what it means partly to be human. And so Paul gives us this long list of things. Now, the only one I really want to pick up on today, because it's the one Jesus picks up on, and I think that's a good enough reason to, is the problem of greed. The problem of greed. Now, Paul, in his list, it's towards the end of the first group, and he says, greed which is idolatry. In other words, greed which is a kind of false worship, a kind of false god, which is a pretty strong thing to say. And it's interesting how often Jesus in his ministry encountered this problem. It's interesting how often people came to him with something which could be described more or less as the problem of greed. Now, the man who comes to him today is hoping that Jesus will help him resolve this family conflict. And it's interesting, the same thing happened a few weeks ago, a few thousand years ago, but in our reading a few weeks ago, when Martha came to him, you remember this? Wanting him to settle the dispute between her and her sister. And this happens today with this man who comes to him, wanting him to settle this dispute with him and his brother over a family inheritance. Isn't it great we don't argue about these things anymore, right? Okay, so Jesus takes this man up in this discussion, but he basically says to him, I'm not going to solve that dispute, but what I'm going to do is try to get to the heart of where some of these disputes come from. Right? I don't just want to deal with externals. I don't just want to deal with superficial things. I want to get underneath them and learn where this is coming from in your heart and in your mind and why we have such difficulties with these kinds of things. He says, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Then he said, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. I'm not going to help you deal with the externals, Jesus says, at least not directly. I want to go internally. I want to know what's happening inside you that's causing this to erupt outside you. And Jesus calls it greed. Now, greed is basically our fixation on the things of this world, right? Whether it's money, possessions, all sorts of things. Things that are of this world, but we look to fulfill some deeper meaning inside us. And, like we talked about in the children's address, things that ultimately don't satisfy us. They leave us wanting more and more of them, but they don't fill the void that we have. And so Jesus tells this parable because this is a mindset, a natural mindset, that he wants to be a changing mindset. He wants to shift us from one way of thinking to another. And that's where the parable comes in. Now, the parable is of a man, a farmer, who's a wealthy man, it says, a rich man, whose ground yielded an abundant harvest. Those are the words. The ground yielded an abundant harvest. Now, who gave him the ground? Assumedly, God has provided the ground. So already from the start, we're meant to think, where are these gifts coming from? Where are these blessings flowing into his life through? Now, when the man gets this abundant harvest, his first instinct is to turn inwards and to think very selfishly, I guess we could say. And I want you to listen to the language, because that's where we really get to the heart of the parable. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and I will build bigger ones to store my surplus grain. Then I will say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years, so take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. The problem you can hear in the parable is not the abundance. The problem is not the wealth. The problem is not the hard work, assuming he did some, or the careful planning along the way for the future. That's all good, and it's a gift from God. The problem is that he doesn't see it that way. The problem is the incredible introspection of his life, where he just looks to himself for answers, for the future, for everything, for security, for joy. It's all tied up in this little kingdom that he's building, right? And that is the problem according to Jesus. And you hear it in this monologue. He thought to himself, I'll say to myself, the circular nature of his thinking, which is incredibly focused on himself and no one else. Now, at this point in the parable, God intervenes. As if to say, look, if you're not going to include me in your thinking, if you're not going to include me in your decision making, I will find another way in. Right? I will speak to you eventually. But when we've kept him out of the process for so long, it might not be a word we want to hear. And the word to this guy is, you're being foolish. You're being foolish. This very night your life is demanded of you. You see, it was always a gift. It was always on loan. It could always be taken back at any moment, and tonight it's going to be. And so Jesus uses this to show the incredible problem of putting so much hope and trust in the things of this world that can be here today and gone tomorrow, that can be given one day and taken back the next. And so that's what the parable is meant to show us, that we shouldn't live with great regard for the things of this world and no regard for the God who has given them to us. New barns, new houses, new holidays, new cars, right? Our bank accounts, our super accounts, our tax returns, it's all good stuff. But it's not stuff we're supposed to cling on to for all our security and our sign of success and our means of enjoying life and our future joy. And yet that's what we tend to do with it. And so this is what Jesus wants to change in our thinking. This is the changing mindset he wants to bring to us. Now, Paul uses this beautiful little image. And he says, since you've taken off your old self with its practices, now put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. And it's an image that goes back to baptism, right? Being clothed with Christ. But he says, you've been clothed with Christ. Now each day I want you to take off the old clothes and put on the new. Now all of you, when you got up this morning, you took something off and you put something on. Thankfully, I'm glad you did, right? And you came here and you were clothed, right? Now Paul says, in one sense, this is the Christian life. And it's this simple. Every day when you get up, you start with a natural mindset. You start with some old clothes. And I want you to take them off, and I want you to put on this new set, the clothes of Christ, the mind of Christ, the attitude of Christ, the thinking of Christ. This is living the baptized life, right? But it's a daily thing. It's not just something that happened in the past. It's something that has to happen every day, Paul says, because this mindset is so natural and it's so normal, and we fall back on it so easily. And he says, take it off and put on this new one. This is our new mindset in Christ. What is the mindset of Christ? You know, Christ loved the world. He didn't have disregard for it. He didn't have disdain for it. He loved the world, but he was unwilling to cling on to it. You know, Christ prayed for daily bread. He ate, he drank, he enjoyed life. But he didn't look to these things for his fulfillment and his satisfaction and to give him everything and to fill the void in his life. You know, the mindset of Christ is so significant. It sees life as a gift, but also something that can be taken at any moment. It sees life as something entrusted to us, generously given to us, and therefore something we should be generous with. Something we should live self-sacrificially. Something we should pour out for the sake of other people. Because this is how he lived it. And so every day we need to return to this. Every day we need to return to our baptism. Every day we return to the foot of the cross. Every day we return to Christ, because every day we wake up with our natural mindset and we need him to help us shift it. Every day. And so every day, heaven should be on our mind. Every day, the glory of God, we should be thinking about it. And he says, that's not going to make you of no use to the world. It's going to make you of more use to the world. Because you're going to go out to love it and serve it and be generous to it and be self-sacrificing to it. Not like the guy in the parable was. Just keeping all the world's riches to himself. That's not what God wants for us. And so every day we need to come to him with these old clothes and ask him to clothe us anew with the grace and the mercy and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Paul says, have the same mind among you that was in Christ Jesus. It's not something we can create in ourselves. It's only something we can receive as a gift from God, like a new pair of clothes, and put on each and every day. But that's how we learn the virtues the world needs. And that's how we get the courage that the world doesn't have. And that's how we find the peace that the world can't give. It's through him. And so Paul sums up, he says, here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. He is our security. He is our success. He is our wealth. He is our wisdom. He is our satisfaction. He is our future joy. He is everything, Paul says. He is our all in all. Let's pray that he would be that for us. Gracious Heavenly Father, you claim us in baptism as your own, but you call us each and every day to take off the old clothes and put on the new. Father, clothe us again this day with Christ, with the blessings, the mercy, the grace, and the peace that comes from knowing him. And Lord, send us out in the world to be of some earthly use according to your will for us, that we may serve you there and love the people you have given us to love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.